Good morning. Welcome to the pre-show here, our backstage pass show for you guys. So as it stands, the gig on Saturday night, the Drunk History gig, which is tomorrow night. What the fuck, man? God damn. That's tomorrow night, yeah. We'll be at the Shrine Auditorium. God, I used to go to the Shrine Auditorium and watch. Man, I went to the Shrine Auditorium back in the day and saw all kinds of fucking bands and shit, you know? So that was the... So now the Shrine is the... Then later I saw the CTI Summer Jazz Series. What did I see at the Shrine? Yeah. No, I saw the Watts Summer Jazz Festival. I saw the CTI Jazz Series at the Southgate Palace. And then I saw the Dallas Nurse Ebola Free being released. Nina Pham doesn't have Ebola. Am I right about that? Dallas Nurse Ebola Free being released. Did she have Ebola or didn't she, you motherfuckers? CNN? Berman? You die at noon. Figuratively. Not literally. At noon, I sue. Come Friday, I sue. Okay. Rookie quarterback Zach Mettlenberger. Now, I got football, Ebola, and I have the Shrine Auditorium all rolling around in my mind. And strangely enough, they all belong together. You know, Ebola, Shrine Auditorium, and football. Yeah, I like that. That's my world, man. That's my world. So anyway, went to the Shrine in 71 with Margaret Hansen, who is a Facebook friend now and a doctor of some grooviosity, man. She lives in Iceland. All of this is true. I went to the Shrine Auditorium in 1971 with Margaret Hansen to see the Watts Summer Jazz Festival. And we saw Roland Kirk. We saw a lot of Vax that night, I'll never forget. And we were the only two white faces in the whole fucking crowd. And we were both like 19 and 17. So technically, I was in trouble. No, actually, I was the 17. She was 19. I'm joking around. No, I was 19. She was 17. And we were technically in big, big fucking trouble. No, we were there to see the thing. So we saw Rahsaan Roland Kirk. We saw Gerald Wilson. We saw Lee Morgan. We saw everybody. I guarantee you it was everybody. Because I remember looking, it was a Friday night, and I remember looking at the lineup for the night and thinking, this is the night we got to get tickets because it was amazing. And it really was. And I remember Roland Kirk finished his set by breaking a chair up on stage. Roland Kirk also did the other thing that I recall from that gig, or maybe it was another gig I went to at the Cal State LA. I remember there's a lot of what they used to call poetry and jazz would go together in the 50s. There was a lot of poetry readings and jazz. And today's hip hop, rap music, it draws a little bit from that. When the cats used to read their poetry and the guy would be playing jazz. And I saw some of that at Cal State LA. Well, that particular night, Rahsaan Roland Kirk did some of that and ended the set with the final two things. He said, if you can't dig this music, you might as well split off the planet. And then took a chair and he had like, and Rahsaan Roland Kirk was blind. So he always wore the shades. Something about blind musicians that endear us to them. But and he had, Roland Kirk had one, two, three, probably three saxophones around his neck, you know, in some kind of gear, some kind of an attachment there. He had three saxophones that he could go between. And I looked at that and I thought, that's an amazing talent, although it looks kind of weird. And then, now I realize what I do for a living, and it can't possibly look weirder than what I do. In fact, this is it. This is probably the end of the line for that kind of shit. And I'm not even blind. Thank you. So anyway, Roland Kirk did this set. He used to do great music. He was a great musician. Loved his music. And then he said, if you can't dig this kind of music, because he did this spoken word thing, if you can't dig this kind of music, maybe you ought to just split off the planet. And then took this chair, and as the curtain came down, Roland Kirk was on his knees on the stage with the three saxophones around his neck, breaking a chair apart, smashing a chair apart. I always thought that that was perhaps derivative of the what was going on in rock and roll a few years before, which was the guys taking their... I shouldn't say derivative. What I should say is it was a... maybe drawn from, maybe inspired by, or maybe Roland Kirk was busting chairs up on stage, you know, before Pete Townsend was breaking up guitars. But nonetheless, that was a performance that stays in my mind. Isn't that interesting? I mean, obviously, and Gerald Wilson's performance sticks in my mind. Gerald Wilson was an orchestra leader. We don't have those guys anymore. We don't really think of them. Back then, it was still relatively hip to be an orchestra leader if your music was really good. Gerald Wilson played tremendous jazz pieces with this large ensemble of jazz musicians that he had, and he had some featured solo cats. And Gerald Wilson was a, you know, classic orchestra leader. He comes out, and he has on this fucking great suit, and everybody's looking good, and he has his maestro baton. And he comes out and he looks at the audience, he acknowledges the audience with a smile and a nod as he is conducting this jazz orchestra. It was outstanding, loved it. And Lee Morgan came out. Lee Morgan's a trumpet player. Fucking unreal, man. This cat was just unbelievable on this trumpet. One of the fastest playing guys I've ever seen. And God damn it, I wish I could look up the... maybe it's something to do for later on, but 1971, I'm sure it was... I don't know what time of the year it was. I cannot place times of year. I know that... I know the years, but I can't... I thought I saw Led Zeppelin, for instance, with Jethro Tull in the spring of 1969. I actually saw them in the summertime. Yeah, in the summertime, in August. And then I saw Jethro Tull again in... October, it kind of does that to you, man. And believe me when I tell you, people will say, well, look at man, you're old, you can't remember shit. Well, dude, if you're thinking back 40, when you get to the point in my life where you're thinking way the fuck back 40 years, Jack, you ain't going to remember shit either, okay? If you had to do it now, you wouldn't be able to remember shit, okay? So if you're 20 years old right now, okay, you could probably tell me all you need to tell, everything that I could possibly want to hear about when you were fucking 10. But think about this. You're thinking back to just, you know, one half of your life is 10 years. So you're brand new. One half of your life is 10 years. 10 years to me is 1/6 of my life. So 10 years to me ain't shit. But when I get all the way back like 40 fucking years, which so let's say half my life, 30 years ago, I have just as clear a memory of 30 years ago as you would have of 10 years ago. 30 years ago, I was 32 years old. I know exactly where I was living, what I was doing. I was a year I'd gone to China 2 years before. I was 32. It was 1984. The Olympics had just turned 32. The LA Summer Olympics. I was getting ready to go back into live radio. I was still working as a voice talent, and I was basically doing 2 days a week as a voice talent at Westwood One, but I was getting ready to go back into doing a weekend gig over at KMET, and I was going to start producing again. And eventually I did, by 85, a year later I would be doing full-time radio, but by 85 I started getting back into just like doing weekend gigs, because up to that point, for the preceding 2.5-3 years, I was just doing voice work. I was working 2 days a week. I had the fucking greatest gig in the history of the world, man. I was making about... In 1984 dollars, I was making $60,000 a year going in and doing voiceover shit 2 days a week. You know, I mean, believe me when I tell you, it was nice money for a, you know, 32, 31-year-old guy. All right, dudes, we're all set to go. Margaret?
Yes, you have to warm up this voice. This is a very difficult voice for Phil to do, so he has to warm it up. There are highs, there are lows. Within this range, there are highs, and there are lows. And unless you warm this up, it is the worst goddamn voice to have to get into in the morning.
Well, Margaret, I love the language.
Now, the other thing I want to do here is get some... The most important thing we do in the morning here is... warm up voices. It ain't anywhere near as important as getting show material. I don't give a fuck about that. Because as you know, I do what I want, when I want, and how I want now, and I don't give a shit. Let's see. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. Here we go. Do sweet emotion. Your mama says you are out of sight. Hatchet attacker, not a G. Some motherfucker ran up to a cop and hit him with a hatchet. Are you ready for this? The cops are recovering. This is probably some psycho homeless motherfucker who saw something about these attacks. Don't panic. Why Ebola won't become an epidemic in New York. I think everybody's on edge. Doctor isolated. So this doctor in New York who came back from...
I thought you said you were, yeah.
Yeah, you said you weren't going to do it anymore, Mr. Henry.
Well, all right.
Yes, you said you were not doing any more Ebola. And I think you need to stick to that, even though I'm fascinated by it.
Well, what do you mean you're fascinated by it?
I think it's very important that we do. Don't look at me as if I get my kicks talking about people with... So you think I get my laughs talking about people with runny diarrhea?
Yes, I do.
Paul Oakley Trinsey. I got a prediction to make for you guys, by the way. In the coming elections, Republicans are going to be elected. And the Republicans are probably going to take over the Senate. But the Republicans are not. I make a prediction. The Republicans are not going to shit-can Obamacare because they recognize something. They recognize two things. You mark my fucking words on this. They will not shit-can Obamacare. They may try and alter it significantly to placate the loud and very, very stupid far right of their party. They're just, these people are... Believe me, folks, I talk to them every fucking day. There's just no brains going on there. There's a lot of anger, and there is a lot of stupidity when it comes to... I'm not saying that they're basically stupid people, but they have no interest whatsoever in understanding anything about how societies work and how where we were to get here and where we're... You know. And there's probably a lot of fucking liberals the same way, so trust me when I tell you, I'm not enamored of either one of these motherfuckers. However, they will not roll back Obamacare because they know it would be a massive, massive mistake. It would be hugely unpopular. That's right. That's right. Hugely fucking unpopular. Now, I'm only reading this as a sort of, as a traditional view on politics, not really understanding the quality of human being that's going to be elected to the Senate in these next elections. They could be the lowest scum of the. I don't know. I mean, because we're getting people elected certainly to the United States Congress, Tea Party people that are not qualified to run a fucking soup kitchen. Now we got guys that are going to be coming into the Senate, and what kind of dim bulbs will these guys be? We have no idea. But their immediate solution will be cut back all these taxes. And understand something, folks. Cutting taxes for a lot of these people that are complaining about Obama, and I'm doing show prep right now because this shit pisses you off. I'm not doing this on the show, but this is how I prep. People that fucking... people that are pissed off about Obama, cut those taxes for those people. Do you think that's going to make their fucking lives better? Now, I'm talking about the loudest minority of these far-right anti-Obama people. Do you think cutting their fucking taxes and implementing a Tea Party program, do you think that will make their fucking lives better? No, it won't, because those people are unhappy for a couple of reasons, one of which, the most important of which, is... They couldn't run their goddamn lives, man, if they had a roadmap. You know, if somebody came in and hired, a temporary service to help them organize, they're just, These are people that are angry for a variety of reasons. The same thing, I think, goes for, you get closer to the center, you're getting people that are not so far right about things. Cut their fucking taxes. They may actually know what to do with that money. But I'm not saying that a man doesn't have the right to piss his money away any way he wants. Certainly you do. I'm not saying that a man doesn't have a right to tell the government what to do with his money if they are entitled to it at all. Of course they do. They have that right. But I'm just telling you, man, pull away from some of these programs implemented by the Obama administration, the most important of which is Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, if you will, and you're not going to have an easy time of it, man. I don't give a fuck if everybody in Congress is a Republican. You will not have an easy time of that. And the Republicans are going to recognize that. The Republicans will recognize the need for this, just as they recognize the need for Social Security, just as they recognize, even though, obviously, the country was a majority in the, you know, the camp of Franklin Roosevelt. The fact of the matter is, Roosevelt made an ally out of his political opponent in the 1940 election. Wendell Willkie, who was the Republican candidate, made an ally of this man. All right, that's all I have to say, General.
Yes, I'm looking at Chris McKendry here. She's in her blue blazer. She's wearing black pants. They favor her because, you know, those sacky dresses that she wears, they make her look like she's got a big ass.
Well, I thought you liked that.
No, that's Henry. That's not me. Jesus.
Well, I mean, big ass is such a, a broad term.
Oh, that was great, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. Hatchet attack. What the guy's a nutcase. That's what there's your fucking motive. A mental midget. Okay? I love it, Time Warner Cable. Fuck you. I ain't a Time Warner Cable customer, so. U.S. Canada. We have this story here. Islamist link probed. No, they're saying that there is no Islamist link, bitch. Don't bother me with that. Hatchet assault, New York police comes during ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-boom. Biddly-biddly-bee. This is the Google Trender.
Daylight on a street in Queens, New York. There were four NYPD police officers. They were walking. They were recent graduates of the academy. Someone asked them to stop to take a photograph. This was a brazen attack, a shocking attack in broad daylight on a street in Queens, New York. There were four NYPD police officers. They were walking. They were recent graduates of the academy. Someone asked them to stop to take a photograph. They stopped, and this is when this man, who you've seen in that video, came up and attacked them. The police do not believe that the person who asked them to stop to take that photograph involved in any way. In fact, he's been cooperating with them. But as you can see in that video, then he came up swinging that axe as he did. He managed to hit one of the policemen in his arm, the other one, unfortunately, in his head. And it's that police officer who's now in critical condition.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, what concerns NYPD police, particularly following the attack in Ottawa, where you are now, Anderson, is that they looked at his social media, his Facebook page, his postings on YouTube and elsewhere, and those gave them concern about possible motivation tied to Islamic extremism. They're still investigating it, but those things that they saw on the Facebook page, YouTube postings, etc., gave them that concern, and they're looking into it. Now, as a result of that, this attack, what they saw on social media, as well as the attacks, well, in fact, two attacks this week in Canada, they have since issued a bulletin to all officers in New York, asking them to increase their situational awareness to look out for attacks like this. They're taking this very seriously, Anderson, and it's exactly the kind of attack that many intelligence officials that I've been speaking to are concerned about. Lone wolf attacks, very hard to predict, very easy, unfortunately, to carry out.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about the threat of this for quite a while now. I mean, and again, it's early hours, so there's probably a lot we do not know, and I just want to emphasize that. But does this guy have a record at all? I mean, I know you've talked a little bit about his social media profile. Do we know if he has a record, if he has a mental health history or anything like that?
We don't know yet. He did have ID on him. And remember, the police officers shot him afterwards. They shot him dead, in fact, after the attack. He did have, I'm told, ID on him, but police are working to confirm that ID so that they know that it is him. These are the questions, and you're right to say that it is early, because based on that name, they've looked at those social media pages, but they still have to 100% confirm that that is the guy they're talking about. So I do think we should urge caution here, but I'll tell you, enough concern from police that they immediately issued that bulletin to other officers to look out for attacks like this.
Yeah, no shit, man. Jesus. That's fucked. Sorry to hear about that for that, those guys. I don't know, man, you know. All right, so, you know, there you have that. And that's bullshit. Let's print that off. I think personally, it looks, you know, I could be wrong, but it looks to me like it's some homeless motherfucker or some mentally deranged guy. They're looking at Facebook pages. You know, they want to be sure. I get it. You get it. We all get it.
Well, they want to make sure that there is no hard and fast connection between this man and the jihad and so forth.
You're called jihad or jihad?
The jihad, I'm sorry.
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4. You know what? Let's just do that. Okay. Yes, the hard and fast jihad.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now, look at this pig that is sitting there on television. This is the most amazing thing.
House panel hears about Ebola response. What's this, man? What's this? Wow. Emmanuel Sanders, Broncos defeat Chargers on Thursday Night Football. I was talking to somebody last night on social media, and they were saying, how come the fucking Broncos again? I said, because the Broncos are, you know, hot. They've got the hottest quarterback right now. The biggest story in sports right now is, the biggest story in football is Peyton Manning, and, you know, so... Hatchet assault on New York police comes during fears of Islamist attacks. Canada shooting. Police investigate whether Michael Zabugu Gugugu Lutukulululu. I think this is another guy with a long line of weirdness. See, this is the thing. You got a million people that think it's this, and then it turns out to be this. That's the whole thing that's happening here, you know.
Yeah, kind of like 9/11.
What are you talking about, 9/11? What kind of a stupid comment is that?
What do you mean?
Well, no, what do you mean, bud? 9/11?
Well...
So in other words, 9/11, everybody thought it was a big deal, but it was just one guy?
Well, now technically, no, he did get help.
Oh, he did get help. The guy got help to bring down 3 fucking airplanes, man. No, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4 airplanes. 4.
Well, there was 3, technically only 3.
What do you mean technically only? Because of the one that went into the field in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, United 93. That of the ones I've heard about.
You know something? I've been sitting here patiently listening to this, Dickman. In a minute, I'm going to grab you.
You got me on the nose.
Yeah, that's right. Remember where that hand came from that grabbed your nose. It came from this arm, connected to this shoulder, connected to this head.
Jesus.
Well, what does that mean? What is that supposed to mean?
All right. Police investigate whether Michael's... Whatever the fuck this guy's trip is, man. Look at Putin, man. Is this his girlfriend? Well, she was cured of Ebola, so she had that goddamn disease, and now she's cured. Okay. I don't know. Now she's Ebola free, man. I don't know if she's gonna be fucking. God damn, that's kind of scary. I gotta find out whether this chick had Ebola or not. Because I heard some bullshit about how she didn't even have it. I thought we said we weren't gonna do Ebola.
You got that right.
Well, we're doing it. NFL best 19-2 at home since 2012, Broncos. Denver is, but it's Peyton Manning's performance in the playoffs, man, that will tell the tale, my brother. Tell the tale. Now, who ambushed this cop? Officers then shot and killed Thompson. Officials think he acted alone, and he's just a weird motherfucker. Is this the chick? Here she is. You got to be kidding me.
I'd like to thank God, my family, and friends. Throughout this ordeal, I have put my trust in God and my medical team.
Uh-huh.
I'm on my way back to recovery, even as I reflect on how many others have not been so fortunate. Of course, I am so incredibly thankful for everyone involved in my care. From the moment I became ill and was admitted to Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital, Dallas, up to today, my discharge from the Clinical Research Center of NIH. I would especially like to thank Dr. Kent Brantley for his selfless act of donating plasma to me. As a nurse, I have a special appreciation for the care I've received.
All right, so this is this girl she's speaking, and she looks healthy as hell. She looks vibrant, and she doesn't even look like she's lost any weight. See, that's the difference between getting proper medical attention. All right, let's hold on. All right, welcome to our show, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We're looking here as we speak at this young nurse who is Ebola-free. I mean, that's good news. Very, very happy to hear that. She is speaking now, and we'll continue to speak, and we'll continue to do the do and the funky chicken, too. You know.
Well, what do you mean the funky chicken, too?
Well, yeah, Phil, you're making this young lady's...
Just hold on. Let's get the show started, okay? Let's get this show on the road, okay? World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.